That is the epitome of foolishness.
Happy New Year, Bucks fans, Ira Kaufman fans. We are here, episode 2 of This Week. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is in the house. He is Mr. Bill Curry Ford and the Baron of Big Storm Beer. The Ira Kaufman podcast closes yet another year. Ira, I can't believe this thing started in 2016. It's 2021, baby. The Bucks are going to the playoffs. How are you, Sage?
You know, speaking of 2016, Mr. Isbitz, I'm not sure we've ever missed a week in 5 years. I'm not sure we've missed a week. I've been on vacation. You've been on vacation. The Kemper's out of town. We find a way. Look, bring on the NFC East. That's what it's all about. It's for Buck Nation right now. I want to salute Coach Arians for making the right decision. You know, Andy Reid, he's sitting down Mahomes. Tyreek Hill, he ain't going to play. I understand that the Chiefs are locked into their playoff seat. I understand that. But, Lee, I also want to point out that the Chiefs are going to get the following week off. So he doesn't necessarily have to sit down Mahomes, because Mahomes is going to have a week off. Now he's going to have 2 weeks off. Arians, thinking about sitting down Tom Brady? Not for a second. Not for a second, Lee. And I think it's the right move for momentum's sake. 4-game winning streak. I like the sound of 11-5, Lee. I like it. And I think there's a consensus building out there, Lee, that the Bucs are a team that if you're Green Bay, New Orleans, Seattle, you don't want to mess with this team right now, Lee, and that's music to the ears of Buck fans.
I think Arians is playing Brady for one simple reason. He doesn't want to play Seattle off right off the bat. He wants the NFC East.
You blame him? Do you blame him, Lee?
No, of course not. That's why I brought that up. But simple as the following. He doesn't want to play Seattle, and he'd rather play, and I'm sure his players would rather play whoever wins the NFC East. Nothing about momentum or this or that or the other thing or feeling good or, wow, we got a winning streak. No, it's just cold, hard-blooded facts. They want to play the NFC East team.
No less an authority than Derek Brooks in our Tampa 2 The Identity podcast this week. Steve, he echoed Lee's sentiments. He even went over the top. Steve, he said he wants no part of Russell Wilson if he can avoid it. He wants no part of Wilson, and he will take his chances with Dalton, Daniel Jones, Alex Smith, whoever he throws in there. And Steve, for Brooks, it's all about the opposing quarterback. And he sees a quantum difference between Wilson and anybody in the NFC East. And I don't blame him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been saying that for a while. You know, it's the playoffs. You go with the crappy quarterback, take those odds all day long. You know, this year there's such a divide between Seattle and whoever wins the NFC East. It's just a no-brainer. It doesn't mean those teams can't play well, and whoever gets in is going to be reasonably hot from the NFC, unless it's the Giants, which it's just such a strange year. You know, that's the goal, and I get it. And Sage, I got to let you know that Bill Curry Ford, you want to start shopping at BillCurryFord.com, head on over there. General Manager Sean Sullivan, he's happy to help you out. You can email him, ask for him. And Bill Curry Ford, we love promoting them. We love presenting them. 60 years of Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. And Ira, you just know, now that it's 2021, extra big deals on the 2020 vehicles, getting them off the lot, the very few that are left, as we hit the new year.
You know, Steve, I've been listening all year long to you describe the promotions that are going on at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium, east side of Dale Mabry. What strikes me, Steve, and this is going on since, you know, January, they never run out of initiatives, Steve. It's always something. It's July 4th. We got sales. Every month, they give you a compelling reason to go in there. And I'm telling you, if you walk to that state-of-the-art showroom, you're going to walk out with a vehicle, because one way or another, you might not think you got great credit. You might not think that they can put you in the exact vehicle you want. They will find a way.
Many of the offers on the website right now, Ira, the Built for the Holiday sales event, they expire January 4th. So there is still time, but at any time is the right time for Bill Curry Ford.
Here's an incentive for you, Ira, and for our listeners, actually. I was in there this week talking to Sean Sullivan, our good friend, the general manager there. And Ford only does this for select dealerships. Obviously, you got to be a high-end, blue ribbon, you name it, type of dealership. They have a souped-up Mustang in there, a GT350, to be precise. It's number one. And what would be my number one is, it's the first car off the rack from the factory up in Dearborn. And they've got it at Bill Curry Ford. You can go look at that puppy. It's sharp. Very first model. Mustang GT350. It's there in the showroom.
What color is it, Lee?
White.
White. Nice.
And there you buy it. Heck, you know, it's not there to collect dust. It could be yours.
We should not let this go without mentioning it in passing. Steve, our little fantasy league, and credit to Dennis Phillips for reaching the finals, but didn't make it. We have another two-time champion over there. But Sean Sullivan pledged $1,000 to the winner. That is a heck of a move by Sean Sullivan on behalf of Bill Curry Ford. I didn't get my grubby little hands on that check, Steve, but an excellent move, and it shows the class of the whole operation over there.
Sage, Lee mentioned a sports car. Antonio Brown, interesting nugget here on Sirius XM NFL Radio this week, and general manager Jason Light speaking on the Buccaneers Radio Network last Sunday. They both mentioned that Antonio Brown is just now getting his football legs under him, getting his real form, and they said it independently. They talked about a little bit of detail as far as, you know, you can't replicate a football shape, and Jason Light went out of his way to say, remind everybody, hey, Brown didn't really play last year on top of that. So I don't know. I think there's something going on that they're seeing at One Buck that is standing out so much that both of these guys are mentioning this. And how do you think that bodes going forward?
Well, I think it's part of a bigger picture, Lee. And the bigger picture is sensational in this regard. And look, I'll say it right now, Buck fans. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me, listeners, when I say what I'm about to say. But, you know, going into Sunday's game against Atlanta, and we don't know what the heck's going to happen on the field, but this might be the healthiest team in football, Kemper. It just might be the healthiest team in football. And who's coming on? Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady, Mike Evans. Godwin's been there all season. He's getting healthier. The offensive line's intact. I mean, Lee, Vita Vea is not coming back. All right, you live with it. Lee, this is the healthiest team in football. We are blessed here in Tampa. Another reason not to rest, guys. It doesn't mean Ndamukong Suh doesn't need a blow a little bit. If you're up by 20 in the third quarter, you take him out. I understand it. But Lee Brown is coming into his own. Gronkowski is in, you know, 2007 form right now. I mean, it's fantastic. And Brady, you know, looks like he's 27 instead of 43. So from a health standpoint, Lee, I think the Bucs are in remarkable shape.
Yeah, Peter King said with Chris Russo earlier this week on SiriusXM that he thinks the Bucs are dangerous for that reason, specifically wide receivers. He said this is probably the first time all year their wide receivers are healthy, and what timing, you know, right at the end of the regular season. I think you're right, Ira, although the two injuries are two big injuries, two first-round picks. One, of course, is Villa, which affects the entire defense, and to a lesser degree, O.J. Howard, who seemed like he was really turning the corner career-wise, catching passes from Brady, and then he blew out an Achilles. So,
Sage,
Steve, having said that, Steve, it's important that Carlton Davis comes back for the opening round playoff game. I don't care who you're playing. Carlton Davis, but you know, we got to acknowledge it. He's the best they got. He's the best they got. Is he a top three cornerback? Hey, you can debate it all day long. But he's the best the Bucks have.
Top three in the way.
Yeah, and if you're going to shadow another team's receiver, you know, and every team's got good receivers, especially Dallas. And if you're going to try to take one of them out of the game, you kind of need Carlton Davis because Murphy Bunting, you know, I know he's a young player, but he seems to be just a guy out there, and Jamel Dean's up and down. So, Steve, in terms of health, I would like to see Carlton Davis recuperate rather quickly.
With all that guffawing, Ira, that you did about health, I got to say, you're basically laying out the ammunition for the crowd. Maybe it's not the biggest crowd. Maybe it's a minority. Maybe it's 30%. But the whole beautiful case you just made is also the same case that you say, you know what, we got to freaking week 17 with everyone healthy. I'm not playing these guys. We're going to make it to week 18 by sitting half of these guys. We don't need Gronk out there and JPP and Antonio Brown. You know, there's that side of it too.
There is, but the idea of playing that crappy division, that trumps everything in my mind. And by the way, gentlemen, let me vent for a moment or two. Steve, even you are going to have trouble putting up a counter argument, and I know you love to. Shame on you. Shame on you, morning football shows on television. Whatever show Dominique Foxworth is on, shame on you. Today, I believe it was the second segment, right after they talked about all these teams on the playoff bubble. The very next segment was about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and some supposed controversial statement that Bruce Arians made, and they teased it. And when I came, you know, so they kept my interest. And when we came back from commercial, you know what the controversy was? Bruce Arians said, for this team, it's Super Bowl or bust. That is controversial? What the heck's going on with these morning shows? Can't you come up with something better? Can't you find a John Gruden soundbite that we suck? We can't hold the lead. We're terrible. Keep showing Belichick throwing the phone. You got to come up with better than Bruce Arians saying what every Buck fan feels. Super Bowl or bust. How could that be controversial? Lead the Kemper.
Well, you're playing for the Super Bowl, getting the playoffs. I agree. That's crazy. Now, what channel does he work for? I know he's not.
As far as I'm concerned, that show Get Up should be called Go Back to Bed. Forget about Get Up.
I call it Stay in Bed, so you're close. Well, you know, look who you're dealing with.
Steve, how could that be controversial once you get Tom Brady in the house in mid-March? Super Bowl or bust, it's gotta be your motto. That's the way the Bucks have operated all season, Steve. Otherwise, you don't bring in Fournette and Brown and Gronkowski. You don't do it. You don't draft an offensive tackle in the first round if you're not trying to, you know, protect Brady and go the distance. I this is crazy, Steve. Absolutely not.
What team in the playoffs is not Super Bowl or bust? I don't understand that.
Whatever. You know how those shows work. They have a lot of fun with a one-liner, and they run with it, and so do we, Ira. You know, we do that too. So ours, I think, are a little bit more interesting. So I'll just skip ahead here what I was going to talk about, but I'll throw it out here now. Arians was on Sirius the other night, Ira. He made it officially. He officially made it through the whole season, including the offseason, by never addressing the team via Zoom. Guy won't do it. He said, I don't believe in it. I will not do it. Even though the NFL does not allow players in the building on Mondays and they have to go over film and review the previous day virtually, Arians won't do it. He said the 24-hour rule, it doesn't work anymore. Now we come in on Wednesday. I talk about last Sunday's game and then we move on. Pretty amazing that the guy has pulled that off, Ira. You know, so I don't know. Maybe that's my one-liner.
Well, in the words of Lee DeKemper, get with the technology, Arians. Use it. Use it. What do you mean you don't want to address the team through Zoom? If that's what's available at the time, that's what you use. He doesn't mind talking to us by Zoom, Lee. He doesn't mind.
No choice.
And that's how Brady talks to us. Zoom, Zoom, Zoom.
They're so, getting league mandated.
Yeah. Look, the Bucks are 10-5. I'm not going to nitpick. They're rolling. They got a chance to go 4-0 in the fourth quarter of a season. I don't care if they're playing the Lions and the Falcons twice and a so-so Minnesota team. Lee, I don't care. In the old days, the Bucks couldn't beat the teams they should beat. Now they can.
look at New England and that puppy division they played in. I mean, come on, you know. The Bills were horrible. The Jets were a joke. Don't get me going on the Dolphins. That was their division. What were they going to do? Like, no, we're gonna move to the AFC North because this division stinks. You play the hand that's dealt you. And if that happens to be a bunch of lousy teams, what are you going to do? You can't do anything. You beat those teams. That's what you do. And so if anybody's giving the Bucks grief because they're mopping up against the Lions and the Falcons, what are you supposed to do?
Steve, we're not getting ahead of ourselves too much, but I don't mind getting ahead a little bit. I'm just picturing the Bucks going to Lambeau Field. I don't know. I'm just picturing it. And
what are you doing, Ira?
He's people
got a woman
say,
up in Madison.
Well, I'm the anti-Brady. I'm the anti-Brady because when I asked Brady about being a wild card team, he said, we got the great Atlanta Falcons coming to town. That's what he said. So I'm going to be the anti-Brady. I don't know. I just keep thinking of Brady going to Lambeau and knocking out the league MVP. I got a vote. They want my vote by Tuesday, the Associated Press. I'm picking the All-Pro team, and I'm also picking the postseason awards. And I think you guys would agree it's Aaron Rodgers to lose, and I'm not sure how much he's going to play on Sunday, and Mahomes isn't playing. So I think Rodgers is going to be the MVP. I believe that'll be number three. Steve, I got this vision of Brady knocking out the league MVP. I like that vision, Steve.
I'll run with that a little bit, Ira. Lewis Riddick, who's getting some GM interviews, former safety, former NFL executive. He's on ESPN, calls Monday Night Football. I don't think he's very good on the broadcasts at all. I think he's poor, actually, but his insight is always good offline or off television. But anyway, he was pretty clear on ESPN recently saying he doesn't think the Bucks are built to win on the road in the playoffs, especially in the cold, and he laid that out. And the reason I mention that is because you mentioned Lambeau, but Bruce Arians the other day also said that he showed a little frustration that he said, people think you got to run the ball in the playoffs. No, you don't. You got to score. You got to be disciplined. You got to protect the football, and then you win in the playoffs. It's not about running the football. So what do you think about that stuff, Ira?
Oh,
well,
he lit the fuse here, man.
In the words of Lee DeKemper, the Bucks are built to throw the ball, so throw the football. But I'll say this, Lee, and you got to acknowledge this. Lambeau, January 14th. I mean, the wind could be 35 miles an hour, Lee. It's a problem. If it's a problem for Aaron Rodgers with that strong arm, it's certainly going to be a problem with Brady. And Lee, with all due respect, I don't think you want Brady throwing the ball 45 times in inclement weather in Lambeau. I don't think you do.
That's not ideal. But you know what? If you look at, I wouldn't even say recent history. If you look at when did Bart Starr get fired? Mid-70s? If you look at the Packers since the mid-70s, they've always been a passing team. They might do the proverbial 50-50, maybe. They've had some decent running backs.
Dorsey Levens was okay.
Yeah, but I mean, not some guy that's been there like a Zeke Elliott or someone. But they always had quarterbacks. Lynn Dickey would light it up. And for a while, their magic man was halfway decent. Mikowski? Of course, Farr. Of course, Rodgers. In my eyes, they've blown that theory. And the Buffalo Bills with Kelly, they've blown that long-used cliche, got to run in January and December. They've blown that out of the water.
They got Aaron Jones right now, Steve. And he's pretty darn good, Steve. He's pretty darn good. I think he averages 5.5 yards a carry. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. It's gone unnoticed, but it shouldn't. How much the tone has changed for the three of us from a month ago? Because, Lee, we got to remember, when they were 7-5 and they lost 3 out of 4 in the third quarter of the year, and they're 7-5, and they got the bye week, and they're playing Minnesota. Minnesota wasn't playing bad at the time. And, Lee, I don't blame you. I mean, you were very, very nervous. And you thought there was a damn good chance the Bucks weren't going to make the playoffs. Damn good. And I don't blame you, Lee, at the time. And so here we are, Steve, 3-4 weeks later, with a 3-game winning streak, another very winnable game on Sunday, and playoffs guaranteed, and you control your own destiny in terms of who you want to play. That's not a bad spot. Steve, that's not a bad spot for Buck Nation.
It's been a hell of a run, and you know how it finishes here. Since Arians has been very vocal and very firm, they're playing to win. How they finish is important right now. I maybe you guys disagree, but if you say you're trying to win and you want to win and you want that fifth seed and you're playing the starters, they cannot afford a slip up this weekend. That would really derail quite a bit, in my opinion.
You're right.
I think it would be a giant letdown, Lee. A giant one.
If that happened. It'd be a letdown, but certainly. You think giant, huh?
I think giant, yeah. I think giant because it was in their hands. They didn't need any help for the number five spot. And that's not a good way to head up to the Pacific Northwest, I don't think. But, Lee, you know, we got to acknowledge it. The Falcons, two things. One, they don't know how to win. They don't know how to win. There's no question about it. When the fourth quarter comes around, they can't seal the deal. They can't close it.
Yeah.
I don't care if they're playing the Chiefs or whoever. But we also have to acknowledge, Lee, they're playing darn hard. And they're not playing bad. And Matt Ryan's, you know, finishing strong without Julio Jones. Ridley's coming on strong. Defense has been a lot better, I think, since Raheem took over from Quinn. And, you know, they're not a team that you beat up by 20 points. Not normally. So, you know, this could be a competitive game.
Sage, Lee, who is ready for some terrific, terrific irony?
We are, go baby.
All right. So this is beautiful. This falls under the category of you cannot make this stuff up. So Arians is on Sirius the other night. And he says, he just gives a nice 45-second rant about how Raheem Morris deserves a head coaching interview and another shot. And one of the primary reasons that Arians rattles off is that he says that Morris, with the way his team has started football games, has proven to the NFL that he knows how to get a football team ready to play. And the inference was, when you start fast, that's because the coach knows what he's doing. And as we all watched the Falcons start fast against the Chiefs and the Bucks and many other teams. So there's Arians endorsing Morris because he has fast starts when Arians can't figure out the fast starts. I thought that was fantastic.
That's outstanding, Steve. If he had said that a week ago, I mean, it really would have been incredible. Lee, maybe they turned the corner. You know, I gave them credit for taking the football rather than that stupid deferral where it's like a no-brainer, defer, defer, defer. I like the fact that they showed some confidence in Brady. Maybe it's easy to do that when you get the second half of the Atlanta game in your mind. But I thought Arians did the right thing and set the right tone, Lee. But going into that game, Steve's right. Their starts had stunk. And what a line for Arians to use that as a you know, to build up Raheem Morris when he was suffering. He could have used a little Raheem Morris locker room chatter until last week.
Yeah, that is interesting. And we all know that Raheem, when he was here, was terrible, terrible at the start of games.
Yeah, he's not going to get that job, Steve. We all know that. He is not going to get the Atlanta job.
I've got part two of Delicious Irony for you, Sage. But I want to remind everybody that the holidays, whether it's January 1st, whatever it is, mold does not know anything about the calendar, Ira. You can have a leak tomorrow night and have an absolute disaster on your hands at your home. You could have a small fire from an electrical fan that happened to me years ago. All kinds of things. So you know what, Sage? When you have that problem, you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. Their team of disaster specialists, of licensed mold remediation specialists, they're going to head to your house for a free estimate. You know, the day that they bought everybody a beer at Big Storm Brewing for the big watch party, Florida's Elite Restoration, Josh Martin, the boss, he texted me in the morning, said, hey, I got a call. I'm going to a customer's house. You know, I may be a little bit late. That's just how they operate. 24/7, they are able to get out there and give you a free estimate. Make sure you don't get ripped off by your insurance company. Guide you. Florida's Elite Restoration.com is the website, Sage.
Mold, Steve. It's a different kind of animal. It's not like your kitchen sink, you know, is dripping. That you can put off for a week. It's not gonna, you know, it's not gonna cause you any great damage. Mold, you never know. It could be minor. Hopefully it's minor. But if it's not, you got a real problem on your hands. You got to have a place you can trust that can diagnose this thing accurately and honestly. And Florida's Elite Restoration is the place to go. And Steve, you call them immediately before you call the insurance people. You dial immediately Florida's Elite Restoration.
Yep, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, so Arians said, I asked him the other day about Todd Bowles having a top 10 defense because it's pretty much a lock right now. The Falcons would have to score like 48 points and run up 600 yards for the Bucs to get out of the top 10, and that's not going to happen. So top 10 defense, one of the things that Arians said was that Bowles is the very best in the business at second half adjustments. So I heard that. I heard that. And you know what was running through my head, Ira? Maybe I'm just too logical. My thought was, if Bowles is the best in the business at second half adjustments, then why are you deferring the kickoff?
I didn't even think of that, Steve. That's another reason to take the football besides taking it in Brady's hands and trying to get up 7-0 quickly and put you in a position where the other team's playing catch up. That's a great point. Steve, you know, on this top 10 defense, and I think this guy was speaking for more than himself. I was on with the Mad Dog, Steve, on Wednesday, and we were talking about the butt chances and how far they can go. And he said, well, the offense is going great guns, but that's a lousy Buck defense. That's a lousy defense. I had to correct him. He pushed me back to 5:30. I got bumped by Brent Musburger yesterday. I don't mind getting bumped by Chris Christie. Now he's bumping me for Musburger. So, you know, we got a problem there at Mad Dog Radio, which I'll straighten that.
I can understand getting bounced from Musburger. There's nothing bigger fish in the pond than Musburger.
Well, I'm the Hall of Fame voter, and Musburger isn't. How do you like that, the Kemper? So anyway.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
So, Steve, he said the Bucs got a lousy defense. And he didn't think twice about saying it. I mean, it kind of just came out natural. I had to correct him, and I said they got a decent defense. I don't know that it's a top 10 defense, Steve. I just don't know that. The rushing defense, even without Vita Vea, has been exemplary. Dalvin Cook earned every yard he got, and he's fantastic. But the great running backs, the Kamaras, did nothing against the Bucs on the ground. We know what McCaffrey can't do anything against the Bucs on the ground. But, Steve, in this day and age, holding your head high because you got the best rushing defense in football doesn't mean what it meant in 1977. You know what I'm saying, Steve? That's when, you know, you would complete 52% of your passes and you would run as much as you throw the ball. Now, teams are throwing it two-thirds of the time. It's a great effect. And you said it before, Steve, this secondary and this pass defense overall, you know, you're not going to be playing the Detroit Lions every week. You know, once you get through with the Redskins or the Giants, even Dallas can score. And they got weapons. I know they got Andy Dalton, but they got weapons. And especially if Carlton Davis isn't 100%. Steve, there are still concerns about the Bucs secondary. Let us not paper those up.
Lee, do you have anything you want to add before I go wild on Ira?
No, but I the only thing I would say is, you know, I sure wish Jamal Dean could turn the corner. I saw something the other day that he's so good at pass defenses, something or other. I can't remember what it is. I'm like, darn, is that why he can't stay in the starting lineup?
He's very up and down. He's very up and down.
Sage, yeah. I can just hear the general manager, Jason Light, listening to this podcast, sipping a cold brew after he clinches an 11-5 season and throwing a beer against the wall. Ira, this Buccaneers defense, you're saying it's not top 10. They're ranked 6th in yards allowed, 7th in points allowed. That makes them top 10. They are number 1 in every single category against the run. They're 4th in turnovers in the league, 5th in allowing first downs. They get off the field. What the hell more do you want, Ira? I hear your problems about the secondary, and there are some issues there. But overall, I mean, come on.
Well, I think my concern is that if a team can handle the Bucs pass rush, which has been very good, Lee, been very good, they might get 50 sacks this year. It's a big number. But, you know, Lee, you play a team with a strong offensive line, brings in maximum protection, and the quarterback's got time to throw, Lee, like Matt Ryan did in the first half of the Buck-Falcon game 2 weeks ago, and he ripped him to shreds. He's on his way to a 450-yard day. And I made this, Lee, I made this comment last week. I don't think you heard it, but I'll say it again. A lot of times this season, Lee, more than I would like, with 2 minutes left in the first quarter, they show it graphically, and every time they show that freaking graphic, the opposing quarterback is 9 for 11 for 121 yards against the Bucs. They start very slow on pass defense as a rule. And, Steve, if the pass rush isn't going to get there, and you can say this about almost any team, I understand. But I think the Bucs, more than most of these playoff teams, the pass rush doesn't get there, I think they're in trouble, Lee. I think they're in big trouble against a good quarterback.
Well, I don't think you're wrong, Ira. I'm not in love with this pass defense. And you give any quarterback time, they're going to shred you. Even Blaine Gabbert.
You know,
I thought Ira drove off the road when you said Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah. Well, here's one I'll get Ira. This is a guy Ira worked up. We can't always fully believe what some of our commenters say. We don't know if they're. Well, we're not. I'm not accusing anyone of lying, but Ira, you know, I know, Steve knows that what someone says they think they hear or think they read and what they actually did read are two different things. I'm guilty of that as well. You know, you always got to double check things. So anyway, there's a guy, a commenter, that swore he read the Detroit Free Press. He didn't have a writer's name or a columnist, so that someone in the Detroit Free Press unloaded on the Bucks in their Sunday paper, accusing the Bucks of running up the score. And I said, you know what? I've heard it all now. Blaine Gabbert running up a score.
That's just ridiculous. I mean, that's just stupid. If Brady would have stayed in.
Blaine Gabbert running up a score. I thought you'd have fun with that.
You know, that is the epitome of foolishness. If they hadn't taken Brady out and he would have thrown for 650, which I think he was capable of doing.
Points. Yeah.
You know, yeah, and score 70 points, maybe you got a case. But, Steve, as soon as you put Blaine Gabbert in, you can't use that sentence in the newspaper. Can't do it.
Now, you're right, guys. I saw that, Lee, actually, when it came out in Detroit. And it wasn't any sort of grand column. It was like some guy or woman who writes a regular Lions thing. It was like two paragraphs. You know, saying hey, Bucks ran up the score, and it was more about how they were winging the ball all over the place in the second half instead of run on first and second down and throw on third down. So, but hey,
with Blaine Gabbert,
come on. But here's this, Ira. You would have loved this. Arians on his radio show. Oh gosh, he spent a good 90 seconds, 2 minutes, gushing over Blaine Gabbert and how wonderful it was for him to get that work because he hadn't played in a couple of years. And this guy is so much better than people think he is. And just gushing. I mean, if anybody thinks Blaine Gabbert's not coming back to this team next year, they're out of their minds.
Steve, I think one of his lines, and I almost fell off my chair and landed on Cosmo when he said this. Boy, he can really spin a football. Didn't he say that, Steve? I thought he did say that. And, people use that line, but they use it on freaking Patrick Mahomes. They use it on Aaron Rodgers. They used to use it about Marino. This guy's putting Blaine Gabbert in the conversation. He can really spin a football. I don't know what kind of spinning game he's playing over there, DeKemper, but maybe he can spin it around his finger, you know, like a basketball. You know, I don't want to see Blaine Gabbert in the second quarter at Lambeau Field in about 3 weeks. I don't want to see it.
Well, look. Jason Light once said Mike Glennon has a cannon for an arm. If you remember that, we used to have fun. Lee and I used to have fun every time we'd mention that. Sometimes we'd use the Yosemite Sam picture of him with lighting off the cannon, guarding the fort from Bugs Bunny or whatever. But
hey, Mike Glennon, if you need a quarterback, you sign Mike Glennon. All three of his teams that he's played for, they've drafted a quarterback in the first round.
Lee, I want to say this on our podcast.
It's
almost semi-Buck related, but I want to say it anyway. I said it on the on the doggy the other day. And you guys may not agree, Steve. This could be grist for you to go crazy. I said that the Ryan Fitzpatrick pass the other night was the greatest play of the 2020 NFL season. The greatest play. Season was on the line. If that's incomplete and they get the face mask penalty, they are not in field goal range. They are not. Look, it was a wobbly pass, but Steve, he got it off. An incredible play by Fitzpatrick. And it reminded me of Mahomes hitting Tyreek Hill. Wasn't a great pass. 44-yard throw. He was wide open. He was going to take a hit from that 49ers guy that was in his grill. But he got it out there. He got it out there. It wobbled. And this guy is a fantastic backup quarterback. I compared him to Don Brock. Russo thought that was a good comparison. So I just want to say to Ryan Fitzpatrick, who a lot of Buck fans thought should have stayed in as the Buck number one, even when Winston came back from suspension, that take a bow, Fitzpatrick. You just turned in the play of the season. How do you like that?
You need a cold shower. Calm down. An absolute accident, if not a joke of a pass, you're calling the greatest play of 2020? Please calm down. I understand the circumstances, but shouldn't a great play not be an accident?
I thought it was a great play.
You know he had no clue where he was throwing that ball. He just heaved the damn thing.
I disagree.
Okay, I thought he was just heaving it. For me, a great play is one that, you know, it's not a heave. You actually plan it out, and a guy makes a play.
Steve, for DeKemper, a great play is a 4-yard pass to Ronald Jones that he actually keeps that he actually catches. That's a fantastic play. Steve, are you telling me Fitzpatrick did not try to throw that ball to that receiver? Is that what you're telling me?
He had no idea where the guy was.
I'm not weighing in, Ira, because it's just not that important to me. So I'm gonna let the listeners decide, Sage. Now, here's the thing. As far as our picks for this game, we're going to get to those in a couple of minutes. And the season's not over yet, Ira, so maybe that's not the best play of 2020 for Fitzpatrick. There's going to be a lot on the line for a lot of teams this final weekend. But, Sage, a couple of things to run past you. First, Arian said that Ronald Jones is wearing this cast that can be manipulated, just sort of like on his left hand. And he said he's a right arm toting kind of guy most of the time, and he's not too concerned about it. I don't know. I'm a little concerned given the confidence issues Ronald Jones has had in the past and given the stakes. A guy playing with a cast who's not used to it, who's sat out for 2 weeks. I think they got to give him a lot of work this Sunday, just if nothing else. I know they want to get him 100 yards to get 1,000, but just to make sure he's 100% used to that thing.
I'm with you on that. You know how much I hate agreeing with you on anything, including what day it is and what color the sky is, Steve. I'm with you. Ronald Jones is not established enough in this league that I know that he can play through an injury, that I know this is not going to affect how he carries the football. Lee, all it takes is a mistake or two, a giveaway in January, and your season's over. That's all it takes, Lee. Because the playoff games are usually close. And I want to see Jones toting the ball against the Falcons. I don't care about the 100 yards, Lee. I don't care about it. To me, that's a tall order, especially if Brady's going to play to give him 100 yards when they're also trying to get Mike Evans his yards. I don't want to get distracted by that. But I want Jones to get his carries, Lee, and I don't want him going into the playoff game with 3 weeks of inactivity. I would like to see Jones carrying that football, Lee, and carrying it securely.
Well, you know what? This is a very interesting dilemma Steve brings up. Very interesting dilemma. It's clear as a bell that this has been a 2-year project by the Bucs to work on Ronald Jones' confidence. And he must have had some serious issues, whether that was from Cutter or some deep, deep, dark issues he had long before the draft. He obviously has some kind of confidence issue, inferiority complex, whatever. If the coaching staff constantly talks about this going on 2 years now, if you play him with this funky cast and he fumbles or something stupid happens, what about that confidence you've been working on? I mean, confidence is so fragile that even Arians said that after Rojo made a fumble, what, a month and a half ago, he ran right up to him and said, "You're going to still be in the game. We're still going to feed you the ball. Don't worry about it."
Right.
So I understand exactly what you're saying, and I don't necessarily disagree with you that you want him in rhythm, for lack of a better term, when the playoffs start. But if it's fragile, they're still working on his ego and his confidence. If he goofs up, you know, does that put you back to square one with the guy? I don't know. I think it's a double-edged sword. I'm assuming he's going to be wearing that cast the first round of the playoffs. So is he going to be spooked? Like, you know, I got to hold the ball in the wrong hand now, and then that leads to other fumbles? Or that's a hell of a dilemma. I think maybe more so than what we're giving, the gravity of what we're giving it.
You know, Steve, I think it's important in terms of that cast that Jones can show that he can handle physical contact. And it's not the same as practice during the week at One Buck Place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just in terms of technique, Steve, I want to see him show that he can handle that cast against full contact.
I got you, Sage. What are you snacking on over there, Ari? You got something good?
I got a lollipop, a red lollipop. When I go to the bank and they give me my money, Lee, they also give me a red lollipop. I'm like a 7-year-old.
At the bank?
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Ari, you know, when the time comes and you're not at the bank and you're in grown-up world without your lollipop, I know you love a quality Big Storm beer, a Tropic Pressure, Golden Ale, Bromosa, Palm Bender, another IPA, just fantastic beers. So many great beers from Big Storm Beer. The holiday season's ending, but we still drink beer, and it's still football season. You can get to BigStormBrewery.com to find Florida's best craft beer near you. And their tap rooms are in Odessa and in Clearwater. And I just tweeted out a picture the other day. I was in the Fresh Market. Wonderful display of Big Storm beer. So you can find it. If the Bucks win a playoff game, Ira, we're going to get you just a whole celebration of Big Storm beer. I'm going to have it delivered to your house and with no pictures from women.
You know, Steve, we might have a bonus appearance at Big Storm, Steve. It's yet to be determined. I'm waiting for your instructions. But we thought there'd be 8 road games, and we made 8 appearances. And, Steve, it looks like the Bucks are definitely going to be on the road in week 1, no matter who they're playing. It's going to be a road game, but we may be back at Big Storm. Am I correct?
Well, absolutely, but we don't know when the game's going to be yet, so we have to go one step at a time. But we fans know you watch all the road games at Big Storm, Clearwater, beautiful open air, outdoor area. The tap room is fantastic. Great food. Don't worry, Sage. We'll have you back there drinking some beer.
You know, a lot of people listen to this and they think, you know, I don't want to drive to Clearwater. I don't want to drive to Odessa, et cetera, et cetera. Don't have to do that. There's a lot of fine establishments in Tampa Bay area that carry Big Storm. And from what I understand from one of the suits at Big Storm, soon, they didn't give me a date, but they said soon, Publix will begin carrying Big Storm. I know Hooters serves Big Storm on tap. So you don't have to drive to Clearwater. You don't have to drive to Odessa. You certainly don't have to drive to Clearwater or Cape Coral, although we recommend that you do go to a Big Storm tap room. But there are places, fine dining establishments, fine drinking establishments, including Hooters, our good friends at Hooters, that do offer Big Storm beer.
All right, Sage, let's get to the picks. Let's get to the picks. We have more to talk about next week. Exciting times coming up on the Ira Kaufman podcast. We appreciate all our listeners. If you want to leave a review, go ahead. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, wherever. We always love reviews, and why not? So, you know, spill your guts, good, bad, indifferent. And if you made it this far, it's probably very good. So, Sage, now, I'm not going to allow you to engage in shenanigans, Ira, in manipulation of the voting process. I'm not going to allow that. We've got the picks here. You and Lee are tied. There seems to be a discrepancy on the tiebreaker. I believe you won the tiebreaker, but Javier, the unofficial secretary of the podcast, he has recorded that he believes Lee won the tiebreaker that we discussed last week. So we're going to leave that undecided, Ira, because I know that's not going to affect your vote and your pick. You're not going to deceive the good fans of Tampa just to try to win some sort of ego contest here. So I'm going to pick first. I could pick the Falcons because I'm a game behind you guys to try to force some sort of three-way tie and some new tiebreaker, but I'm not doing that, Ira. I'm picking the Bucks, 37-17. I think they're just going to cruise, and that's going to be that. So I would like to say that it's a lower score if they throw Blaine Gabbert in after halftime again, but I'm sticking with that, Ira. 37-17, I think we're going to see turnovers by the defense and maybe some defensive-fueled scores. Go ahead. Whoever wants to go next.
May I suggest a runoff between me and DeKemper? A runoff. A Florida runoff at a date to be determined. I'm only kidding. Lee, you can go second. I will bat third in the order.
I'm gonna pick Bucks, but I think it's gonna be a low scoring game, relatively. And I think it's gonna be extremely close. They're gonna make Bucks fans sweat. It's gonna be a Ryan suck up field goal in the south end zone. There's my tiebreaker. Bucks 24, Falcons 21.
And I'm going to say, Steve, that the Bucks have come too far to let their foot off the gas. Arians has been adamant that it's very important that they win this football game. And with that mindset, I believe they will. They will beat an Atlanta team that just doesn't know how to win. They remind me a lot of Buck teams that finished 5-11, just couldn't close, you know, upset some team in the middle of the year that you got no business beating, but then lose all your close games. I got the Bucks, Steven, 30 to 20, Bucks close with a 4-game winning streak, 11-5, and let the chips fall where they may between me and Mr. DeKemper.
Well, a couple of angles here, Ira, which I always like to mention since this is the only real time of year to do it in a relevant way. I do not put it past Arthur Blank to give the edict to tank this game. The Falcons currently hold the number 4 overall pick. And of course, the tiebreakers can change, but that's where they sit. And they've got some big decisions to make with a general manager that isn't there yet. It would certainly make sense if they wanted to replace Matt Ryan, start fresh, trade him away. And so I don't put the tanking off the table here for Sunday. Also, I think now that I think about it, the fairest tiebreaker hasn't yet to be determined, Ira, because, of course, we're going to still pick games in the playoffs. So there may come a game where, hey, you pick the Packers and the Bucks, Lee picks the Bucks. So you never know.
That's right. That's right.
Or I could still I could still make a comeback.
That's right, Steve. There will be at least a minimum of a 17th game for the Tampa Bay Bucks, and hopefully more than that.
All right. Well, Ira Lee, it's been a fun year, a sad year, a twisted year, a weird year for JoeBucksFan.com, but here we are with a very happy ending, not the Robert Kraft type, and it is just it's great to do some business with you guys and talk some football, and we've got a lot of fun ahead, especially with the playoffs, maybe an extra podcast or two. Who knows what sort of wild things are going to happen. So, Ira, you can say goodbye to the listeners. Lee, you can if you have something first. And then Sage, close the book on 2020 for the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, at BillCurryFord.com.
Well, I want to wish our listeners a very happy new year. We all can't wait to turn the page. Lee, it's been a hell of a year. I just watched some baseball special on the Hall of Famers that we lost. I mean, 6 Hall of Famers, big, big names.
Yeah.
Gibson, Tom Seaver, Lou Brock, Joe Morgan, big Whitey Ford. Lee, these are icons. You know, that's just sports world. But for our listeners, you know, and the three of us, it's been a tough year. There's no question about it. We hope that these podcasts have brought a little chuckle, just a little entertainment to our listeners. That's all we're trying to provide is informative entertainment. We love doing it. We love the kibitzing between the three of us. we certainly appreciate our listening audience and the people that click on Joe Bucks Fan. It's been a record-breaking year for the Joe Bucks Fan brand, and we're hoping for better things in 2021.
Here's how badly I can't wait for 2021 to come. And I'm usually not one of those kind of guys. It's just a new year. Big deal. So why, you know? And I always carry that through to adulthood. I always call it the amateur night. If I would very rarely go out on New Year's Eve. If I was invited to a party, I might go. But otherwise, I would stay home more often than not drink anything. If I had a beer, okay. But other than that, not drink anything. I just thought it bored me. I just, you know, watch football, and that's it. But this year, I went out and splurged. I went out and bought a bottle of Crown Royal Reserved. It's an $80 bottle. And I'm going to toast this freaking year. I'm going to kick it in its rear end as it leaves for good. The COVID, that goes without saying. It's been great football-wise for us, for you, Ira, for Steve, and myself. It's been great covering the Bucks because so much has happened. The year just flew by in that respect. But everything else has been horrible. I'm still broken up about Eddie Van Halen, and I'll leave it with this. Marianne left the island.